confusion, but I know that he's going to bring clarity. So, Lord, we thank you for that tonight. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the power of God that resides in us. Thank you for the power of God that resides in this room. We thank you for the power and healing that means healing in our body, power that means healing in our souls. So, Father, we continue to declare that and speak that over our lives. Thank you for that power. Amen. You've heard me say many times in Paul's life, I didn't come to you with fancy speech, but a demonstration of power. Lord, we just thank you that this day and this age, if there's anything needed in the American church, it's a demonstration of power.
Yes.
You've already got enough fancy preachers.
Yes.
You already know enough Greek and Hebrew. Lord, we just pray for a demonstration of your power, a fresh and all. Well, thank you for preparing our hearts for demonstration of your power. Not anything that we can work out, not anything that we can make happen, but an expectation, Lord, that you will move again across this nation with power. So we thank you for that, Lord. I don't know about you, but I was thinking about that today. So, Lord, I'm going to be a vessel of your power. We don't need any more fancy preachers. None of what you have. More money, even enough. It doesn't matter how full the coffers are in a church. If there's no power, it means nothing. Zero. Zilch. Amen. But with power, people's lives are transformed. So we thank you, Father. I want to know about you, but I say, Lord, I want to be a conduit of that. Yesterday's gone. Doesn't matter what happened yesterday or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. But today, Lord, I want to be a conduit of your power. So we declare that and speak to that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all my brothers and sisters said, amen and amen. It is good to be. You may be seated. It's so good to be with you here this evening. Although it doesn't feel like summer still, does it? We're not seeing any global warming yet. Or if this is global warming, I want this to stick around. I was seeing, sorry to make fun of that, but I'm not sorry at all. But I was just thinking too that I was looking on the weather forecast. We know that can change from day to day, but I saw something next week, maybe a day or eight or something. Wouldn't that be nice? Thank you, Lord, for the rain. A toe floater? So we've been in that beautiful book of John, chapter 6. And we're in session 56. Were we in 56 last week? It's hard to keep up. Thank you, Lord. I'm just thinking that I'm giving you the same title week after week. Section 56. Section 56. Someone has to watch me. Amen. So, an understanding. So, that, you know, in time we speak, and it's just in this, you know what I do? Just so you know, I'll read these scriptures, and then I just allow the Lord to speak to me. I'll read something, I'll ponder on it, another scripture related to that will come into my heart and mind. And then I'll just expand on that. And so because the Word of God, we'll see things, and what my hope is that we're reading this, that it isn't just words, but you put yourself like if you were there. And I think one thing that's really helped me, to be honest with you today, as an example, what's this Jesus that, this new Jesus season 3, what's it called? I'm sorry. The Chosen. Thank you. But you see that part of it, you see the humanity. I don't know if any of you had a chance to see that. But you see the humanity side of Jesus. I was talking with Kim Kersaw yesterday. We were just talking about when Jesus walked on the earth. And if you had a crowd of that time of, let's say, 100 Jewish men, and let's say you had a Pharisee, you had a fisherman, you had a Sadducee, you had a scribe, a church leader, and let's say you had four or five people, and you said, hey, I want you, out of these 100 people, I want you to start picking out who you think the Son of God is. And Jesus would be dressed like he normally is. And we'd have 100 Jewish men representing every type and style and sect of the Israelites. And we were talking to Ken, and I would say, how far down would that number go before someone would pick Jesus and say, I think that he is the Son of God? And I wonder, because of what Scripture says. It says that he didn't have any appearance that we would even give him a second glance. You know, so common that I wondered I'm just speculating now, but put yourself in your imagination there if you were there 2,000 years ago. Would maybe 80 people, I don't know, be picked before someone would say, how about him? Or somebody, how far that would they get down the line before they realize that according to what we read in Isaiah and what we thought through the Torah, remember that Jesus told the religious leaders, the Pharisees specifically, he says, you search these scriptures intently, but you do not realize they speak of me. And so they didn't see him at all. And so what I'm saying is you can look at things just with your mind, with reading letters, and not catch the spirit of it one iota. Not one iota. But so I'm asking is, you know, this day and age, is we're getting closer to the return of Jesus. So, you know, that's, I know we are every day, correct? I mean, it's been 2,000 years. And so my heart is, Lord, is as you're getting closer to your return, Lord, let there be just such a revelation of the Word of God, of who you are. Of who you are. Because Jesus says, I am the Word. Remember, he said, I'm the bread of life. That's what kicked off what we're going to talk about tonight. I'm the bread of life. I am he who has prophesied from the beginning. In Genesis, when it says that he shall bruise your heel, you shall bruise his heel and you'll bruise his head, talking about the coming of the Messiah. To where Moses said, hey, there's going to be another one come like me. And you must listen to everything he has to say. And so you think about all those generations in Israel waiting for the coming of the Messiah and their expectation. And so I think about the of Jesus, when he arrived on that scene, they weren't expecting him at all. And sometimes I think, you know, what's the next move of God going to look like? It could be something we're not expecting at all. Because one thing that we really have to go by is past history. So we think about the things that we've seen in the past, or read about the past, right? And so our minds and our understanding have an expectation of what we see there. But I'm asking this, Lord, is through the Word of God, Lord, let us see you more clearly. Let us not see you as a list. You know, I said a list of do's and don'ts, or a list of what Jesus was like and not like, but are revealed by the Holy Spirit of his goodness, of his love, of his transforming power, that our minds, our hearts would come alive and vibrant of the ability of Jesus that can flow through us, wants to flow through us, the ability of Jesus of how he wants us to interact with those that we love. Amen? I mean, I could just go on and on. So I say all that as we're reading this, that we could put ourselves in that place and pull out some scriptures that we'll talk about. So I'm going to start at verse 36. We've read these, but I just want to go over them again, and we'll continue. So, but verse 36 in John chapter 6 in the New American Standard Bible says, but I said to you, this is Jesus, that you have indeed seen me, and yet you do not believe. And so everything that the Father gives me will come to me. That's me and you, amen?
Amen.
And the one who comes to me, I certainly will not cast out. Hallelujah. Have you come to him? Man, he says he will not cast you out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of everything that he has given me, I will lose nothing. I belong to him. I'm not going to be lost. I am found, and I won't be lost again. Amen? How about you? Are you found? Have you been born again? Have you been found by me? Are you a child of God? Amen? Are you a daughter and son of God? Amen. But we'll raise him up on the last day. Amen. And there's a last, we won't stop there, but there's a last day coming, isn't there? Everything that we do, I say this over every struggle, everything that you fight through, everything that comes against you, everything that pulls or tears against you, man, there's coming a day, the last day. All accounts are settled. The elements of this earth are burned. There's a new heaven and a new earth, and everything will be different. That's why I love to say, people say, you believe in the new age? I said, absolutely. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. There's a new age coming. It's not quite like what people believe, amen? But you do. You believe that a new age is coming. Amen. So Jesus is speaking about these things right here. As he's speaking, mind you, that few to none at this time understand anything he's saying. It's just after where Jesus says, hey, the things that I have spoken to you after I'm gone and you receive the Holy Spirit, he said, I will bring those things back to remembrance to you. And then you'll have a revelation of what they mean. And so as you and I are reading this, understand that he's preaching to this crowd, mind you, that's still worried about where's the food. You made the food. What about the food? When's the next time you're going to make food? And Moses made food for us. And if you're as great as Moses, then you need to continue making food, because food in the form of manna was made every day. And then obviously we'll see when he says, I'm the bread of life. And as we go through this, the conversation and what he has to say, he's going to expound on it. But nothing like what you and I would expect. He sent me that on the very, verse 40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. So once again, they're hearing this, they're going, he's saying what? What are you saying? So we're on one subject, and you're speaking directly to the spirit world. You're speaking directly to the years to come. He's speaking to generations way in advance. He's speaking to you and me in this generation. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Wow. Jesus said, I'm going to raise you up. The Father's going to give me the power. The Father's going to glorify me in such a way that when I see you in the last day, it will be I that raise you up, because it's going to be my blood that saves you. So everything predicated and finished and started based upon Jesus Christ and his love. And so this is where I'm going to focus a little bit, because it pertains to you and I, and I'll show you why if we get far enough tonight. I'll do my best. Verse 41 says, so then the Jews were complaining. In the King James it says murmuring. So then the Jews were complaining or murmuring about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. So he's moved on. And he said a bunch of things since then. But they're already stuck, and you said you're the bread of heaven. So they didn't hear anything after that. They didn't care of his explanation. They didn't care what he had to say. They didn't care that where he was trying to lead them in a conversation. They were still stuck on that food that he made and all that he had multiplied. And then he says, they're complaining because he says, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. You know, murmuring about what? What were they murmuring about? I've come down from heaven. He who believes in me will have eternal life, he said. I will raise him up in the last day. Murmuring, let me just say, murmuring, the King James Greek is mutter, grumble, say something in a low tone. It means cooing of doves under your breath. You ever been that way or seen people to say things under the breath? You say, what did you say? Oh, nothing. Could people that will murmur or complain under their breath? You know, this we'll see this. We will see this is where it goes this crooked, crooked crowd of Jews. And I'll prove this. Crooked is the word we're using. Crooked. It says, and I want to, so let me just start this, let me just say this, because you know this, and I want to talk a little bit about murmuring, complaining. And you say, well, Chad, you spoke about that before, but I'm going to tell you that right here, when the Jews started murmuring, complaining, is when everything, any opportunity for them to have any type of revelation or understanding of what Christ wanted them to hear was completely cut off. Murmuring, complaining. Up to that point, Jesus was hoping to speak some truth and that somebody would hear. You see, as they started muttering under their breath, complaining, not understanding something, instead of being saying, you know, look at the miracles. Even Jesus said, believe me, at least for the miracles I've completed, I've done. Can't you see what I've done? The things that I've done that have never been done before? But no, so they begin to murmur and complain. You know this. I've preached on this before, but let me just a reminder, because this coming from Paul, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 10 through 12, it says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmur. So this is in the King James Version. And were destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, right? So I say this as an example. He said, I've done this as an example for you to consider. Paul saying that if this was put here from generation to generation, it was part of the canon, part of the Bible, why was it put there? He says it was put as an example to you and I. It says that all these things happen to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. In other words, he says, look, I actually want to use this to encourage you. Verse 12, wherefore, let him that thinks he standeth take heed lest he fall. And I'm going to tell you, I bring up this scripture above because verse 10 says, neither murmur ye, and these things are written as examples. Fact is, all the trouble Israel had in the wilderness started with murmuring. It was not that God pulls away from us, saints. No, not at all. But we draw our hearts away from him, and it usually starts with murmuring, complaining. And so it was with the Jews here. So for the Israelites, it was not one man, Lord help. So the lizard, I'm sorry, for the Israelites who were in the wilderness, it was this way. In one hand, Lord help us. But then the next minute, it was always murmuring and complaining coming out of their mouth. Time after time after time after time. Philippians, let me just continue with some scriptures if I can. Are you sticking with me? Do all things without murmuring. This is the great apostle Paul, right? Is he the apostle of grace and mercy? And to the Gentiles, okay, I just want to make sure I'm reading about the right guy. It says, do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless. The sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked, there it is, crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. But when I read that, I don't take any of this stuff now as condemnation. Because I'm in God's grace, so when I'm reading this, there must be a reason for it. God wants his best for me. Right? And I certainly don't want to take part in anything that would hinder or stop that flow or not realize the blessing of God in any way, shape, or form. How about you? I want to read that verse 14 again. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless. So without murmurings means blameless. Now we know we're born again, but what I'm saying blameless means is what's coming out of your mouth is really what's in your mind, will, and emotions, your heart. You ever notice that? That's just the way it is. So he's saying without murmurings that you walk in blamelessness. There's nothing to trip you up. There's nothing to convince you that's coming out of your own mouth to give up, give in, or not trust in God, or not walk in his joy and strength. Murmuring will always gets you focused on what your mind is wanting to tell you. What's your mind wanting to tell you? That's not going to happen. God's not going to do that for you. No, you've been waiting on that for how long? No, this struggle's been how long? And what murmuring does, it just allows it to come out of your mouth and allows your mind, will, and emotions to agree with unbelief. It really does. The thankful thing is when I see a scripture like that, I say, Lord, help me. Then I'll start thinking of things or examples when I start cooing like a dove. I start saying things under my breath. You know, I'm tired of picking up these socks in the living room. I'm tired of this person doing that. You ever know, talking about things that you can say under your breath?
Yeah.
Kind of low. See, that's what Jesus was talking about as he was saying, I'm the bread of life. They begin to murmur. They begin to talk amongst themselves in whispers. Or this is another time they begin to roll their eyes and say, yeah, this guy has lost his marbles. So that thing of cooing. So I started looking at little examples in my own life because I can only answer for myself. I started learning it, right? And I said, Lord, where's the areas where I find myself cooing? You know, Lord, when these things are hurting, I don't want to hijack anything or convince myself. But because when you start murmuring and doing those things, next thing you know, you're doing it constantly. It becomes a habit. It becomes a part of your psyche. And so you're praying one thing. Like the Israelites praying, Lord, help us. And then complaining about, we're tired of this. We're tired of this manna. Where's some meat? And so thanking God for one thing, but one thing about murmuring and complaining, I've noticed in my own life, is when that is part of your life, you never really understand the power of thanksgiving. You really never understand the power of thankfulness, where you're coming into agreement with the Word of God, who you are in the Word of God, and then you can receive those blessings. You can act in that blessing. You can talk that blessing. You're walking in faith until you receive that blessing because you don't have some cooling going on that starts working in your psyche. And then you start saying things opposite of what God's Word says. And I've said it before. Then the enemy says, oh, I hear that. Let's make a landing here and see if there's a place for us to sow discord. The power of words. See, I used to think that, you know, word of faith. You all hear about some of the excesses of word of faith. Name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. But I'm here to tell you that some of that is actually God, actually scriptural, and actually true. Amen? It's agreeing with his word. It's saying, God, yes, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I belong to you, Lord. All my sins are washed away. Yes, I've made mistakes, but thank you that you accept me. Thank you that all my sins are washed away. And Lord, I'm not listening to that lying spirit anymore because I'm agreeing with your word and it's coming out of my mouth. Thank you, Lord. I have the struggle. Maybe I keep struggling over and over and over again. But Lord, thank you that you are you are my freedom. You are my deliverer. You're my strength. You're my peace. I bless you. I honor you. I worship you. Thank you, Jesus. I am free.
Yes.
Lord, I keep dealing with this thing in my flesh that I need healed of. And I know that you're a healer, Father God. As I'm sorry, Father God, that I continue to murmur and coo about my problems, praying about healing in one hand and complaining in the other hand with murmuring and complaining. So that we're just like going to and fro. It reminds me of James, who says, make up your mind. You go to and fro. It's like you're double-minded, to and fro. This is what that scripture is talking about. Make up your mind and say, Lord Jesus, I'm putting my trust in you, and my mouth is going to line up. And when you make mistakes, you say, Lord, thank you for helping me. We all do that. Anybody ever had a bad day? His mercies are new every morning. New every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I woke up this morning, all these slew of things I had for the day, ahead of me the days of challenges and things that are going on in my life and my family. And I learned things I learned. As soon as all those things are presented before me in my mind, I just lifted up my hands and said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the answers in each one of these. Thank you for the victory in each one of these. Thank you, Father, for making a way where there seems to be no way. I honor you and worship you. I love you. I praise you. And there ain't going to be no murmuring coming out of my mouth regarding these things.
Amen.
And without disputing, so says, do all these things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless. So without disputing means harmless, meaning you're not hurting others. Sometimes murmuring and complaining doesn't just hurt you. It hurts, it sows that discord and doubt and unbelief with people around you. So to be harmless, it doesn't mean being whipped or being something that you might think in your mind. But harmlessness says, no, I'm not going to take any part to do the devil's work. He's going to have to find another way, but it's not going to be through my chops. Right? It's okay to say chops. It's not going to be through my mouth. I'm going to be harmless as far as that in my life. That's good stuff. Matthew 10:16 says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents, that's through the word of God, and harmless as doves. Amen? What's one of the first signs of godly wisdom? James 1:19-20, I'm trying to move quickly, says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And it says to be ye angry, sin not, but it's talking about a righteous indignation, right? You don't go off the rails with it. A lot of times you know when it's of your flesh because if you go off the rails, it consumes you. It takes over your mind. You ever been there? So Jesus, again, he was amongst a crooked generation. How do we know? Acts 20:14 from the Net Bible. This is from the Apostle Peter now. When he gave the first salvation message at the day of Pentecost, it says, with many other words, Peter testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourself from this perverse, also means crooked generation. You know, what does a crooked generation do? They murmur and complain. That, yeah. It's called ungratefulness. It's called ungratefulness. So murmur and complaining is a crooked generation. What's a godly generation do? Thanksgiving and obedience. Thanksgiving and obedience. Amen? Hebrews 10:23 says, let's hold firmly to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Aren't you glad he's faithful? Let's hold firmly to the confession. What's a confession? What's coming out of your mouth? What are you confessing? What is your confession? Let's hold firmly to the confession of our hope. You know what hopelessness sounds like, don't you? Right? Do you know what hope sounds like? We know that faith is faith in those things that we haven't seen. It's the substance of things hoped for that we haven't seen yet. Amen? Those are those things that your confession. So, confession. Let's hold firmly to the confession. Amen. Of our hope without wavering. Does it take time to be somebody who doesn't waver in your confession? Oh yeah. Can you with knowing God's goodness and grace and love, rest in Him and say, Lord, man, am I a work in progress? Lord, I need help in these areas of my confession. Would you do say, Lord, show me, help me. Okay. He understands that. We're His children. We're not trying to become His children. That's the difference. If you're doing those things to try to please Him or try to become your children, good luck. But when you already belong to Him and He speaks to your heart about these things, He's always trying to to bless us. He's always trying to strengthen us. He's always trying to reveal the traps of the enemy to us. He's always trying to show those things that will keep us injured. That's the love of the Father. Amen? You think of a loving father trying to teach a son or a daughter how to ride a bicycle. Right? Some of us just took longer. Right? And they didn't have any helmets. You weren't allowed to wear a helmet. Not there's anything wrong with helmets. But I was a kid. Didn't enter their mind what a helmet was. And so I remember wrecking. I lived out here in Chino Valley, so this mid-70s. I remember wiping out on my bike off of Center Street and getting up, and I was so dazed I walked the wrong direction for a while. I had fallen off and everything, so I was dragging my bike and my tire. And I realized I turned around and went the other way. Did I quit riding a bicycle? No, I made sure that the next time I tightened the tire on, I got here. This time it's not going to fall off. And see, the thing with growing in the Lord, the things that He's teaching us on this earth, amen, and growing Him, what is it to prosper us, to help us against the plans of the enemy, and to be a blessing to those around us? And it has everything to do with the confession of our mouth. Sorry, the confession of your mouth. So when people say, "Do you believe in the word of faith, you confess with your boots?" I do. You bet I do. You bet I do. I allow my mouth to agree with everything that, as far as where God is leading. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for your hand being upon me. Thank you for exposing every trap of the enemy, me and my family. Thank you for healing my body. Thank you, Father, that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Thank you, Lord, that I am getting rid of murmuring and complaining and cooing like a dove under my breath. Amen. So let's hold first. In a current generation, you have suspicion of everything. But in a godly individual, a godly society, there's a great trust in the Lord God. Amen. Hebrews 13:6 says, so that we confidently say, Let me say that again. It says, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Amen. Amen. James 5:5-8:9, let me continue. It says, be also patient. Establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And it says, grudge not one against another, brother, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Let me just say that condemn, it's not a condemneth thing there, like you're going to hell. It's a condemneth saying, hey, look, that what you say to others around you, that can have an impact. I believe we're going to stand before the Lord and says, did you spend a lifetime spreading discord? Did you spend time trusting me? There's people that can spend a lifetime cooing like a dove. I'm not saying they're not going to heaven, but they never learn. With confidence, with confession, say, Lord, I trust you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are Christ Jesus.
Amen.
But if you think a person can spend a lifetime just cooing and not to have the Lord say, man, I had so much more for you. But then we come into eternity, amen. He wipes away every tear. You know what I mean? I know I'm him, but I realize as I'm getting in my older years, I'm saying, Lord, I want everything that comes out of my mouth to have an impact, positive. Lord, I want to stand before you and say, man, you remember that time, Chad? I showed you that? Man, you took a hold of that and ran with it. Good job. There's coming a day which says that He will hand out rewards. And it talks about those who have come through fire, says they themselves shall be saved, but all those supposed works would be burned up. Amen. I think some of the some of the biggest rewards. We think of things like leading people to the Lord. We know that there's rewards for that. Amen. Even in the book of Daniel, in some of his visions, it says, talk about those who lead many to righteousness shine like stars. But I think some of the bigger rewards that you realize is just the things that you might say to an individual. Did you know those? God's going to see those little things that we think nobody else sees. There's going to be great rewards. I think when we stand before Him, some of the things that we think don't matter, God's going to exalt. Amen. How we decided to talk to our husband. How we decided to talk to our wife. How we decided to talk to family members. How we decided to encourage or not encourage one another. Man, I think God is going to see those things. We just think of the big things. Grudge not one against another. You know that grudge not is that murmuring and complaining. Right? So that means that for you, is that I would pray for you, not murmur and complain about you. I pray that you would pray for me and not murmur and complain about me. Did you know that the power of a church will be absolutely crippled with the cooing of doves, with the murmuring and complaining? Amen. Anybody agree with that? Murmuring, complaining about situations and people has this effect of releasing the power of sin in our lives. Romans 2:1 says, therefore you have no excuse. This is Paul again. He gets rough once in a while, doesn't he? Therefore you have no excuse, you foolish person. Then he goes and calls a foolish person. He's like, you dummy. Every one of you who passes judgment, for in that matter which you judge someone else, you condemn yourself. Did you hear that? You condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. I'm telling you, when you hear people murmuring and complaining, that for somehow they think that they're walking in righteousness by doing that, but they're actually releasing the power of sin in their life. Judging others releases the power of sin in your life, because when you're judging people, you're actually walking or deciding to walk in the law. The power of sin is in the law. But letting our conversation be seasoned with grace. Let's continue. Still with me? Colossians 4:6 says this. Your speech must always be with grace. How many grace people do we have in here? Your speech must always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to... You should respond to each person. Man, talking to people with grace. Unmerited, we know that grace means unmerited favor, God's love and acceptance of us. Something about having the ability, people that have the ability to speak with grace. That is a sign of true understanding of wisdom and grace. I've come to realize in my own life and other people, if people who do not know how to talk with grace, I don't care what they tell me about their understanding of grace. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in your heart is going to come out. Amen? So if grace is right, a hold of your heart, and you come begin to mature in His grace and love, that's what's coming out of your mouth. Is that easy all the time? No way, Jose. That can be difficult. But as you walk in maturity, you decide, I am determined that my speech is going to be seasoned with grace. As you're aware of that, then God will start showing that and revealing that to you. And as you do that, man, your heart, your mind, will, emotions begin to grow in Him. And you begin to actually understand what grace is. I mean, let me read that again. Your speech must always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. So you'll know how to respond to your husband, hallelujah. You'll know how to respond to your wife, hallelujah. You'll know how to respond to your friends. How you'll respond to your neighbor. Go on and on and on with an understanding of what of speaking grace. Let me say this. So 1 Thessalonians says, in everything give thanks. Do the opposite of how you feel, right? So in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So So know this, I said it already, you can always tell where your heart is by what comes out of your chops, your mouth. And it's always good to listen to that, and you can have honest, without any condemnation, conversations with your Heavenly Father. Amen. Don't condemn yourself, but help yourself. Let me read this. This is my son, Proverbs 4, 20-24. My son or daughter, pay attention to my words. How do we pay attention to his words? The word of God. Incline your heart to my sayings. This is God. This is Jesus speaking. Who is the word? Jesus. Verse 21. They are not to escape from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them. Those who understand grace, who understand the word of God. And healing to all their bodies. You hear that? For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence. For from it flow the springs of life. Amen? The springs of life are actions, those things that come out of our mouth. Rid yourself of a, listen, this is where God says, rid yourself of a deceitful mouth and keep devious speech far from you. Amen. Hebrews 4:12, I want to continue just a few minutes. It says, for the word of God, this is the word of God. So we're talking about the power and the living word of God in our lives. Amen. Do you love his word?
Yes.
Do you ask the Lord, say, Lord, make it life to me? Not just words on a page. Not something I'm just trying to apply to my life to do to get my good brownie points for the day. Amen. But it become part of me. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. If, how many swords are sharper than the word of God? Nada, nothing, zero, zilch. And sharper than any two-edged sword, even penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let me say this, soul and spirit, division of soul and spirit. So, okay, from the spirit man comes truth. Did you know that? From the spirit man comes truth. Liberty and life. So called to have the soul man. So we're called to have our soul man led by the Spirit, which means an understanding of the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It means nothing but the understanding, the separation of soul and spirit. We're to be led by the Spirit man. Amen? The Spirit of God that lives in us, speaks to us, is filtered through our soul man. But if our soul man has no understanding of the Word, it just stops right there. I've had it before. I've said this before. I remember there was a time because I was so bound by legalism. I remember waking up one morning, and on my mind, by the way, was your mercies are new every morning. It only took me 5 minutes to talk myself out of it with the scriptures that I knew that it didn't apply to me because of all my filthy sins. So that spirit man tried to filter that through my soul, but my lack of understanding of the grace of God would not allow it to materialize in my life. God can speak to you all these things, but if your mind is not renewed to the understanding of grace and love, it gets stopped and muddled right there. By the time it comes into your mind, you've convinced yourself it means something totally different, or it doesn't apply to you, or whatever your mind will tell you day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year. But the Spirit of God, the Word of God, with an understanding of it, a revelation of grace, will separate that soul and spirit to where you train your soul, saying, now I believe what the Word of God says, regardless of what's going on in my soul. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Joints and marrow. Health is in the bone marrow. Amen. We had just read before that his word is healing to our bodies. For myself and my struggles, and in this day and age, you may have struggles. Just know that the word of God just continues in order to continue to trust you. I will trust you till I draw my last breath. My soul will continue to meditate upon the truths and the promises of God, because the promises of God are yes and amen. And so it separates the joints and marrow, meaning that health comes from the word of God. Hallelujah. Able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. Meaning that through the word of God and understanding of the word of God, we're able to say, this is right and this is wrong.
Yes.
And nobody else can convince us that it means otherwise. That the Word of God has all the truth that we need to walk in this life. Not out of anger, not out of browbeating, but out of understanding who I am and what God believes to be right and wrong. Amen? Even Paul says in the narrative, he says, find out what pleases the Lord. When you become born again, do we know everything about actions, right and wrong, about what pleases the Lord? We think we do. And then the revelation, God's love will show us something and say, I don't like that. Don't do it anymore. And what's obedience? Thank you, Lord, for giving me the strength not to do that anymore, because it usually has to do with something coming out of our mouth that is going to booby trap ourselves or have an effect on somebody else. Hallelujah. Coming back to where we started. Let me just read a few. Hebrews 3, 5 and 8. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your straight paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. How do we become not wise in our own eyes? Revelation of this.
That's right.
That's the only way. Are you kidding me? You know how many people we have that think that they're wise in their own eyes?
Wise in their own eyes.
Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. So coming back, this is my last verse, coming back to where we started. So then the Jews were murmuring about Him because He said, I am the bread that comes down out of heaven. Lord, I pray You show us, Lord, that teach us, lead us out of all murmuring and complaining so that we can understand Your Word, understand Your goodness, understand Your truths, Father. We thank You for that. We thank You for the power of the gospel. Power of the gospel, Lord Jesus. We'll see next week that even Jesus said this. I'm going to jump up a couple of verses in with this. So this is how serious this is. Jesus answered and said to them after they started, is this Mary? Is this the son of Mary and Joseph? And this is what Jesus said. He said, stop complaining among yourselves. He said it right then. No understanding at all really what He was saying. What He was saying, stop your murmuring and complaining. Stop your cooing. Stop your cooing. Stop your grumbling under your breath. Change what you say. Allow the power of the Word of God, faith, to come out of your mouth. And watch it slowly but surely change your life. Change you. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Revealing of truth, a revealing of His goodness. And so, Father, with that, we thank You. We thank You for showing us Your goodness. We thank You for revealing to us the power of the words that come out of our mouth. And that, Lord, we would just yield ourselves as living sacrifices. Just yield ourselves to You. And yield ourselves to Your love and say, Lord, show me, teach me. I belong to You. So, Lord, we thank You for that tonight. We thank You for the power of this word, the power of this gospel. I receive it. I don't know about you, but I receive it. And I thank You for it, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen.